Okay, hello. This is Ronnie and Jenny Ashworth. Hey.
Hello.
And we are the associate pastors for you folks who don't know us. And we're here today. We're going to share a message on Psalm 91, which is, I'm sure, a scripture you've heard quite a bit from here lately. Everybody's been preaching on it. And so we're going to share a little bit on that too. So let's just get into the message. This is a scripture that Jenny and I both have been using for many, many years because there's just so much truth in this one passage of scripture, Psalm 91. And this scripture, most of you are familiar with it, but let's just look at a couple of verses quickly. Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." Now, I've meditated in this psalm, Psalm 91, many, 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 many times over the years, but I can still hear the Lord speaking every time I get back into it and ponder these verses, or whatever section of scripture you're in. You know, it could be any other scripture that the Lord shows you, or any scripture that's ministered to you before. You can always get in there and get more stuff out of it. But this one says, "He that dwells in the secret place," or the hidden place of God Most High, "shall abide." The number one meaning of this word translated as dwelleth, "he that dwelleth," the number one meaning is to sit down or to be set. The word translated a secret place means covering, shelter, or hiding place. So we could say, "He who sits down in the hiding place of the Most High." Notice that it's a place of hiding and a place of safety from harm, a hiding place. And we enter into it by sitting down. Now, what does that mean, to sit down? You have any thoughts on that? Okay.
To sit down, to make yourself comfortable.
Yeah.
To just sit down and focus on,
right,
on the Lord.
Right. Stop standing up and sit down.
Yeah.
In other words, recline, incline yourself to that. Relax into it. How do we sit down in the hiding place? Now here's the verse I wanted to get to, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 10 of Hebrews. "For he that is entered into rest, he has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." He has ceased from his own works. And I'm going to say it again. He that has entered this place of rest and safety, this place of the Most High, this secret place, this hiding place, he that's done that has ceased from his own works. We're all involved in works. Amen. But we need to cease from our own works. The Bible says we lay down our heavy burdens. You know, cast your burdens to the Lord. See, we're trying to carry all of our burdens. But the Lord says to cast all your care and your concern on Him. And that's how you enter into that secret place. That second verse we looked at said, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." See, that's the key to it right there. In Him I will trust. And if you look at that word trust, if you look it up in the concordance, you'll find out one of the main meanings of that word is to feel safe. Somebody says, "Well, are you trusting in God?" Yeah. Do you feel safe? No. Well, you're not trusting. You know, if you haven't brought yourself to the place where you're feeling safe, where you're in that place of safety and peace, then you haven't really released trust in God yet. So, this place of rest is a spiritual place we enter into by faith. And we do that by giving Him control. We cease from our own works and we give them over to Him. We give Him the control. You may have heard the expression, "let go and let God," many, many years ago. We've said that for many years, but few people understand what that means. It means let go of the control and let God have control of what's going on. You see, we have to make that happen. We are the ones who are responsible. He's made the place of rest, the place of safety, but we're responsible for entering into it. It doesn't automatically happen. And that's what we're trying to talk about here today. Any thoughts on that, sweetie?
Well, I think about last night when the storm was raging and the wind was blowing, and we have these big trees out back that, I mean, they're like 200 feet tall.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for the Lord and trusting in His Word, I would have been afraid.
Yeah.
But I just loosed the angels, and I said, you hold the trees up. You keep the power on, the lines up.
Amen.
And I just felt perfect peace.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't afraid at all.
Yeah, we can do that kind of thing.
I was searching my heart for fear.
Yeah.
You know, I had none.
Yeah. This eliminates fear from our lives, which is a way more than a lot of people can even believe is possible. But there is a place of not being afraid of anything and not being fearful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what this is about. And it's being able to speak to the storms. And we're going to look more at that in a minute. We're going to talk about how the angels are given charge over us and so forth. It's down in the scripture, but we'll get to that in a minute. But you got to believe this stuff and you got to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it says, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word abide here means to lodge, to stop over, to pass the night. To pass the night in safety. Can you picture that? To stop and pass the night in safety. As a traveler lodges overnight in the safety of the inn. It's to find a place of refuge to pass the night. I think that's a beautiful picture. I was doing a study on the subject of humility recently, and I discovered that humbling oneself is to give control to the Lord. And when the Bible talks about humbling yourself, it's talking about giving the control over to God and ceasing from our own attempts to control things. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." See, that's part of humbling, is casting your care.
Mm-hmm.
You don't humble yourself until you cast your care to God. See, the word trust here means to feel safe. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us feel safe in the Lord today? Do we really feel safe, or are we worried and troubled about things? I think I can say that we feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. We feel very safe in God because we trust in Him. We release that faith and that trust in Him. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, why don't you read that, sweetie?
"Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee."
Yeah. You will keep him, the Lord will keep the person in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. You see, the promises of God and entering into trust and releasing our faith in those things puts us in a place of perfect peace. And that's where the Lord wants us to dwell.
Either it's true or it's not.
Either it's true or it's not true.
And if it's true, then we can stand on it, but we have to say it.
Exactly.
We can't just believe it in our hearts. What we believe in our hearts comes out of our mouth
anyway. Yeah. So, believing is very important. See, what the Bible says, with the heart, man believes. But with the mouth, confession is made unto
salvation.
So it's hard to have faith if it doesn't come out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You believe it, you speak it. And that's the way it works. Yeah. Now, these first two verses really cover a whole lot of stuff about this psalm, but they tell us how we enter in, by ceasing from our own works and by trusting God or feeling safe in Him, letting Him be our trust and our safety and our hope. It's an act that we have to do. It's an act on our part to enter in. The rest of the verses in this psalm give us the benefits of what happens when a person does enter in. the blessings that come upon the person who dwells under the shadow of the Most High. Verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. There are many snares in this life that the enemy would try to bind us up in. But the one who trusts in the Lord somehow or another manages to escape those. The Lord delivers him from every snare. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Under his feathers. He shall cover you with his feathers and under his wings. That's a picture of like a mother hen gathering her chicks into a place of safety. And that's what it's talking about. Like God will do that with us. Gather us into that place of safety where nothing can hurt us. It's not just an idea. It's a reality. Like Jenny said, either you believe it or you don't. When you believe it, it's a reality in your life. When you're skeptical about it, it's just something you heard somebody say about the Bible. But we have to believe it.
Right. And we have to say it.
And we have to say it. I mean, if you
could... It helps when you're in the midst of a battle like a storm and you're saying what you believe.
Absolutely.
No fear is coming on me.
Right.
I just rebuke it.
Amen.
We are delivered from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence
God.
And the plagues.
Amen. See, we can stand on these scriptures because they're not just something in the Bible. They are promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe the promises of God, what do you believe? People sometimes won't say the Word of God, won't confess the Word of God. And the reason they won't do that is because they really don't believe it.
Right.
And if they don't believe it, they won't confess it. Because they feel like they're lying about it.
Mm.
And anyway, that's... So if you won't say it, there's a good chance you don't actually believe it.
I think the devil needs to know what we believe.
Absolutely.
He doesn't have us running in fear.
Exactly. How do you exercise authority? You have to do it with words. You can't exercise authority by thinking something or believing something. You exercise authority by speaking something. What did God give us authority for if not to speak it and exercise it? So, he will cover us with his feathers. And his, what does it say? His, verse 4. He's covered us with his feathers. Under his wings you shall trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now, when we're talking about his truth, we're talking about the reality and the truth of his word. His promises. Those things will be our shield and buckler. I wrote it this way. His firmness, his faithfulness, his reliability shall be that which protects us like a shield. And a lot of people don't know that God is trustworthy and faithful. But to those who put their trust in him, he is reliable. We can rely on him. You know, we sang a Paul Balash song that has the line in it, I can rely on you. I can rely on you, Lord. In other words, there's no question about it. When I'm believing what you've promised, I can rely on you to perform it in my life. Glory to God. And so that's what faithfulness is his reliability, his trust. See, some people are afraid to feel safe because they don't really know if God is trustworthy. Can I really trust him? Can I really put my trust in him? And so this is what entering the secret place is about. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. And that's kind of like what Jenny was talking about a few minutes ago. You'll not be afraid of those things when they happen. Oh, there's a tornado warning. Okay, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, we were not helpless against those types of things. This scripture says you'll not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence. How many are afraid of pestilence these days? sickness and plague,
viruses
and all of that sort of thing. And, you know, I'm not afraid of those things. I'm doing what the government has suggested we do, is stay isolated and socially distant. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great thing to do if the government asks us to do it. But as far as being afraid of the pestilence, if I were to get it, I'd get healed.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not afraid of the pestilence because we're not supposed to be. It says 1,000 shall fall by your side or at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, mm-hmm. but it shall not come near you. Wow. You mean that's 11,000 people right there just died right beside of you.
Wow.
But it's not going to come near you. Mm-hmm. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. You're only going to see that reward with your eyes. You're not going to experience it. We're not going to experience that. You shall not be afraid. Hallelujah. You know, that covers most of the problems we have in life. That list of things we just went through. Fear of death, fear of getting hurt, fear of, you know, sickness, fear of arrows flying by day or bullets flying by day or whatever they are. All of those sorts of things. Terror by night. You can lay down and sleep in peace. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Even last night or this morning at 5:30, we had a tornado alert on my phone, and it was loud. It woke me up, but it didn't wake up Ronnie.
No, she asked me a lot of times, did you hear that storm last night? No, I didn't. I didn't hear a thing, you know. But anyway, praise God for that. But she got up and rebuked the storm, you know, and then just went on back to sleep. And that was the end of that. See, free from fear. That's what God wants us to be. Free from fear. When we put our trust in Him and His promises. Mm-hmm. When we feel safe in His promises. We allow ourselves to feel safe. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High God, your habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. Oh my goodness, we got angels watching over us.
Mm-hmm.
He gives his angels charge over us. Mm-hmm. My goodness, we don't stop and think about that too often. Angels are in our lives round about us, protecting and keeping us.
Absolutely.
It says in verse 12, they'll bear you up in their hands, lest you should dash your foot against a stone. And we need to understand that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. So we shouldn't be hesitant about expecting them to minister in our lives.
That's right.
Even Jesus, it said that the angels came and ministered to him. They have so many ministering things they can do in our lives. And so I'm just thankful for that. We can understand that. And what was the reason there? Go ahead, you got something?
No.
Okay. Because you have made the Lord your habitation, is what it says. There shall no evil befall you, because he'll give his angels charge over you. The only thing we need to do is make him our habitation.
Right.
And all that other stuff comes with it. You shall tread, verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. And I made a note when I read that the one who is set down in the secret place of trust is a terror to the enemy. That person will cause great harm to the enemy's camp. It's not just a matter of being protected. That's wonderful, but we're also a terror to the enemy.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It says you'll tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon you'll trample underfoot, you know. Jesus said it this way in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power or strength, authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That sounds just like living in a secret place to me.
Mm-hmm.
The secret place of trust. It's a secret place of divine safety. Amen. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. You know, it doesn't say that we won't have troubles, but it says he'll deliver us from them. Psalm 34 is a great scripture. Most people have read at one time. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 91 doesn't just say that he'll deliver us, or the ones who are resting in trust. It says he will set him on high, deliver him and honor him. Not just being delivered, but set on high and honored. That's more than just being delivered. That's also being in a place of honor in the body of Christ. And that's priceless. You know, I only say that because the Lord has honored me in many ways for many years. I never understood why, really. I don't understand really why now. But I know God is a God who honors and causes his people to be set on high. And he will exalt. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. And so that's just a wonderful thing and a priceless thing, to be honored in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. And the Bible promises in verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Bible promises long life to the one who dwells in the secret place of trust with God. When the Bible says long life, it means long life. You know, I heard somebody say the other day, we're going to be preaching this gospel till old people call us old. I mean, that's a good way to put it. If this scripture is true, then we're going to be preaching this gospel until old people call us old. You know, the Bible says that the days of man shall be 120 years. Why don't we start believing God for that? And it says, I will show him my salvation. Of course he will. How else could we live long if we weren't familiar with his salvation, his deliverance? We're going to be very, very familiar with his deliverance because he's delivered us so many times. Praise God. Amen. He always will. See, it's part of our heritage in Christ. He came to save or deliver those who were lost. That's what Christ is all about, saving and delivering. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Jesus Christ, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them or for us. You see, God has made a secret place for us to dwell in, but it's totally up to us to enter into it. See, we have our part. God has done his part.
Right.
The rest of it is our part. He that's entered into his rest, into God's rest, has ceased from his own works or his own efforts, his own attempts to control things in his life. And once we cease from our own works, we allow God, we permit God to work in our behalf through trust, through feeling safe in him.
When we work, try to do everything for ourselves, God can't work. But if we let him work,
right?
If we rest, God works. If we work,
God rests. If we rest, God works.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing because we love to worry. You know,
we have to labor to enter into the rest.
That's why it says you have to labor. You have to work. It's not easy. It's not like falling, like, what's it, cherries, ripe cherries falling off a tree.
Right.
You have to work for it. It's almost an oxymoron. Work to enter into rest. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought we were entering into rest. Well, no, you have to work first. But anyway, well, let's just pray about it. Father, we thank you for the secret place of trust that you have created for us. The place you've designed for us to dwell in, Lord, the place of rest, the place of peace, the place of safety in you.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we come to you right now. We lay our fears and our worries before you.
Yes.
We let go of our attempts to control things.
Yes.
And we give them to you. So, Lord, we release every fear and concern to you, and we enter into that place of rest right
yes,
now,
God.
Lord.
Yes.
We enter into the place of peace. You are faithful and true. In Jesus' name,
thank you,
amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. God bless.